Hello and welcome back to Chatty Moms Birth Story Part 3. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Felicia.
And today we are talking about our last birth story.
Yeah.
For little Maeve.
Yeah, so Felicia's second child, so first daughter, so this will be
first girl out of the bunch, poor girl.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one was a little bit different, but it only happened about 2 months ago. So if you listen to my first birth story with Douglas, so he was born in 2019. So Maeve was born February 13th, 2021, so still during the pandemic. When I got pregnant, that was the last thing I thought we would still be in. So I would have got pregnant in the summer of 2020.
Well, you guys planned things out like to a T.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, 2021, like pandemic will totally be over. Like things will be back to normal. Not thinking like February 2020, we were basically in the red zone in New Brunswick for like a whole month because our cases were
the beginning. And we were like, oh, in 2 weeks, things will go back to normal.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, I did not think that would be happening when all this was going on. So, with this pregnancy, similar to this last pregnancy, so we'll get into that more, but I was also getting induced this time around. I was about 38 weeks and a half pregnant when they were going to schedule it. So, it was February 8th on a Monday. First, we just went to the hospital just to kind of get some blood work done. I actually had to get a COVID test done as a precaution for the induction, which I thought was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I never really, like, asked how that was. Like, did they shove it up your nose?
Yeah. So I'm, like, about to leave, and they're like, hey, we're just gonna, like, stick this up your nose real fast. If you could just, like, look up to the sky. And I'm like, okay. And, like, I've heard of, like, some nurses taking, like, 20 seconds to, like, just shove this up there. Ooh. Thankfully, my nurse was, like, in and out, like 5 seconds. It was definitely the weirdest feeling ever. Like, my eyes went so red, my nose tingled. Like, I'm surprised I didn't start like full on crying, but you just like, wow. And then, like, it goes away really quickly, but weird feeling.
Just 5 months before, I had Levi and I didn't even have to do a COVID test or nothing.
Yeah. So I think now, too, with like the tests coming back a lot quicker, maybe there's just like,
oh, yeah. You know. I mean, precaution, right?
Yeah, so inductions, you just never know. So it'd be good to know. But so my induction was set for February 10th. We were supposed to call in that night, kind of the same thing as my last pregnancy. I was like, great, going to go in, get started. I called and they're like, no, sorry, we're quite busy. Maybe call back tomorrow night. I was like,
we were so pissed.
Like, what? So anyways, call back February 11th, Thursday. They pushed it back again. They said, call back in the morning, but we might call you back later tonight if things slowed down. At this point, it was like 8 o'clock. So I was like, oh, they're not calling. Like, okay, Doug, let's start getting ready for bed and just like relax. No, 8:30, they call and like, hey, you want to come in and like, we'll just get started on a round of gel. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Like, things are going to start going.
Let's get her done.
Yeah, so went in, got checked. I was not dilated or thinned out. Just same as last time. I don't think my babies would ever come on their own.
Oh, my God. They're just nice and comfy.
Yeah, it's cozy. So
absolutely not. And it's wintertime, too. They're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Keep me in this warm bubble.
Yeah, so the OB inserted the gel, just got monitored for an hour, made sure everything was fine, and then we just got sent home. So the next morning, so this is now February 12th. So I went at 8 a.m. I actually went in on my own this time around because my husband, Doug, he, just a week before all this induction started, he started one of his big army courses to become a sergeant. And on this Friday, it was his first big test. So during these like past 2 weeks, we were like, oh my God, like she can't come on this Friday. Like out of all days, she can't come on the Friday. So I was like, great. Yeah, we're starting the full induction on this Friday. So I go into the hospital on my own. And because of COVID, I couldn't, like, switch out support people. So I had Doug's mom as backup in case, like, I could not get a hold of Doug and, like, I needed someone there because, I mean, I didn't want to do the whole thing by myself. Yeah, because
Doug's test was, like, eight hours.
8 hour test, yeah. So it was hard. I had, like, a couple phone numbers to call and, like, but I did not want to be, like, hey, Doug, we got to pull you from your test. So,
yeah. You having a baby here, yeah. But,
Yeah, so I went at 8 a.m. thinking, like, cool, they're going to do the same gel, like, same thing's going to happen as last pregnancy, like, things will only really start, like, later tonight. Of course, this OB just does things a little differently, so they ended up doing a Cervidil strip. So this strip here, it kind of releases the drug every hour, and it's just, it almost looks like a little tampon, and it stays in you for 24 hours.
And it's funny because when you mentioned this to me, I was like, wow, this is going to go so much quicker.
Yeah, so I was so nervous because I was like, what if my body reacts so much faster and, like, Doug's during this test? Like, yeah. I had in my head, no, like, things will only progress, like, tonight. So I was so nervous. I'm like, why aren't you just doing the gel again?
Oh, my God. Because I felt like, you know, medication being released, like, every hour to you getting the gel and then going in after 6 hours.
Yeah.
But clearly this was just, like, a slow release. Yeah,
they were really just taking their time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they put the strip in, and then they monitored me for 2 hours. No cramping or nothing. They told me I'd come back in 12 hours, so I came back in at 9 p.m. Just to get some monitored, make sure the baby was doing good. I had some light cramping, but, like, nothing was going on. And I was like, wow, this is, like, really weird. So they didn't even check me that night, which was also kind of surprising. Because, yeah. Like, what if things were going? And I just didn't know. We were annoyed
at that point.
Yeah, and, like, this was my second baby, so I was like, what if I'm, like, 5 centimeters dilated. Yeah, and
what if I'm crowning?
Yeah, so Doug and I go to bed that night. Fell asleep till about 2 a.m. And then I kind of woke up because, like, my cramps were kind of picking up. I was like, okay, these aren't, like, big contractions, but, like, I could time them for every four minutes they were coming, and they would last about a minute. So I was like, okay, like, I know to call the hospital with, like, if it's 5 minutes long and,
yeah,
5 minutes long, wow, that'd be a long contraction. Oh, wow. Nope. If no, it was thanks. A minute long every five minutes to call. So I called, and they just told me to take a Tylenol or go take a bath to kind of relax, see if they go away. And yeah, I took a Tylenol and I ended up falling back asleep, so it was definitely not, like, the real thing. So that was also kind of, like, frustrating because I was like, why isn't things going? So now this is February 13th, so it was a Saturday, so we went back in at 8 a.m., so it'd be 24 hours since I got the Cervidil strip in. So they checked me, I was 1 centimeter, but my cervix was still thick, so very little progress with how much, like, cramping happened. So I was like, I looked at Doug, and he just, like, knew. I was just, like, pissed. I was like, how has this thing's, like, not progressed more? Like, it was just surprising.
During this time, it's so hard for me because I was there. Listen, this is about me again. Like, I was there for when Felicia gave birth to Douglas. So, like, I was in the know. Like, you know it. Yeah, I knew everything. I was there at the appointments. I was the one speaking. And yeah, so, like, not being able to be there and just, like, you know, getting texts, obviously. Like,
yeah, like, we were Brooke talking was the whole first time. One to get texts for everything. So it's not like she didn't know what was going on.
It's just still so different.
Yeah.
It's so different not being able to be there. Ugh.
Yeah, so once I found out I was only 1 centimeter, so they ended up putting another Cervidil strip in. And so she was like, yeah, so we'll put it in another 24 hours unless things, like, pick up. I was like, are you serious? If things don't happen in 24 hours.
Girl.
Yeah.
We gonna have an issue.
Oh, yes. But as soon as she put it in, contractions, well, not really contractions yet, but cramping really started picking up again from, like, the same feeling that I had at night. Like, pain, I guess you could say, was, like, maybe a 3 out of 10. So, like, it was there, but not unmanageable. So we left the hospital around 11 a.m. We went just to the mall in Fredericton to have lunch. I kind of wanted just to walk around the mall because, I mean, there's not much walking to do at home. It's February and it's cold outside, so I was not walking outside. And plus, I didn't want to drive to Oramucto and back because really that would be kind of a half hour.
Yeah.
I was scared with being my second baby. Like, I did not want to have a car baby, so imagine. We were just
middle of the highway. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, we were just shopping. Back
at the mall, about to go eat some New York fries.
Yeah, so I did not eat New York fries, but I did have Taco Bell, which probably is even worse. Oh
my god. Yeah.
I remember Brooke messaged mom. It was like, yeah, Felicia's at the mall, and mom messaged me like, Felicia, eat something light. And I was like, yep, totally.
Eats Taco Bell, about to shit across the room.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So yeah, we're just shopping, picked up some clothes for the kids. Like, it was okay. Like, Doug and I, I'd have to stop every 3 or 4 minutes. Like, I could kind of still time the contractions, but they weren't horrible. But then like 1 hour passed and I was like, Doug, we are not making it back to Ormukto. Like, things are happening. I was having to, like, breathe. When we went out to the car, I had to, like, wait to, like, jump up into his Jeep because I was like, yep, contraction. Like, I can't move through this. Like, we are heading back.
Oh, my God. I'm having, like, so much FOMO. And this happened, like, 2 months ago.
So, it's 1 p.m. back at the hospital. I was like, yes, girl. I'm, like, probably 4 centimeters. Yeah. Obi comes in, and I am still 1 centimeter and still a thick cervix. So, literally, no change. I was like, excuse me? Like, what? Like, my pain was, like, a 5 out of 10. I'm like, we're staying at this hospital, and, like, we're going to get some morphine. So, got some morphine, got some gravel. It did nothing. Like, I feel like the first time around, morphine maybe helped a bit. But this time, like, Doug was like, how you feeling? I'm like, did I really get morphine or did they just give me gravel?
I feel like morphine, like, just does not do anything for you.
And I don't know why I just, like, didn't go straight to fentanyl. Like, if I have a third baby, that's what I'm doing.
The first thing, what would you like to test out? Epidural? Thanks.
Yeah, so I was quite upset. I'm pretty sure I cried in bed once the nurse left and the OB left. I was like, why is this taking, like, so much longer? Like, you hear stories like second babies come so much quicker. Yeah, let's just not this here. One. So the whole induction part was definitely slower, but once things get going, so we were kind of nervous that they would send us home, but yeah, we brought a laptop in, we were watching movies,
I was bouncing on the ball.
I was kind of worried because with COVID I couldn't do the bathtub this time around because, like, it's a lot more sanitizing.
What, have you done the bathtub?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was nice, but I was so glad that they had the ball, so that was good. Yeah, so from pretty much 1 p.m. to about 4, it was just kind of, like, manageable. I had that one thing of morphine, and then, yeah, 4:30, so contractions were getting a lot stronger. I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm dilating more. I want to get more medication, but, like, I don't want to, like, be too greedy. So I called the nurse in to get checked, and I was 4 centimeters and fully thin. I was like,
oh my god, thank fast.
God, like, well, this fall is doing its thing. Yeah.
Wonders gravity. Yeah.
So I was so shocked. She was like, great, let's break your water right away. And I was like, oh my god, like, because first time, like, my water broke on its own, and this time they're like, let's get things going even quicker, like, let me just break your water. So I was like, great. And with Brooke having her water broken, I was like, okay, like, should be pretty good. And, like, it was just like a little pop, and then it was just like the biggest gush of warm water. Like
I'm curious to know, when people have bad experiences with getting their water broken,
yeah,
like, what are people doing?
Yeah, like, it wasn't.
I've heard, like, oh yeah, they, like, put a coat hanger up there.
Yeah, like, no, it
pop
was
pop your water. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So at this point, after my water broke, Doug started the Facebook group chat. So again, where I didn't have an extra support person because Brooke would have been messaging everyone the first time around, Doug was the one messaging everyone this time.
Also, so I need to let everybody know, the group chat name was Maeve Incoming because they already knew the baby's name. Anyways, I thought it was just hilarious.
Yeah, good old Doug.
Yeah.
So yeah, doctor broke my water. I did ask for a dose of fentanyl, just like, I always heard stories like, once your water breaks, like, contractions are gonna pick up real fast. But yeah, fentanyl was great this time. Like, it just took the edge off. I didn't feel super, like, drowsy. I knew the first time around I was like, it was bad. So
yeah,
this time they were just like, here you go, just a little edge. And then because I knew Brooke had fentanyl, they were like, oh, you can only get it every hour. So I was like, okay, like, I really gotta, like, keep track of this. So I had asked my nurse, like, oh, how long ago did I get my fentanyl? And she was like, oh, about, like, 20 minutes. But anytime you want some more, like, I can just administer it every 5 minutes. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Brooke is gonna be pissed.
Because they told me every hour. And I'm not sure, like, maybe hospitals have different things. And you know what? Like, now thinking about it, not a big deal. But at the time, I was like, you know, could have used a little bit more sometimes.
Yeah. So instead of asking for more fentanyl, I was kind of like, hey, like, maybe let's put the request in for an epidural. Like, I don't know how busy a Saturday is at the hospital. And especially with, like, how many times I had to get pushed back with the induction because, like, they had so many babies be born also. So yeah, put the epidural request in at 5. Epidural was fully in at 5:40. Like, I was shocked with how fast they were. The anesthesiologist was so funny. He came in and he was like, oh, okay, you've had one before. Great. Yeah, this is maybe like my 5th time doing this. I've watched a couple YouTube videos on how to do it. So like, you're in great hands. And I'm like looking at Doug like he can't be serious. And like the nurse is just like laughing her ass off because he's one of their main anesthesiologists. So like he knows what he's doing. But like,
I'm sure he's gotten a few slaps.
Yeah, this is not the time to be saying this. So, but like Doug is just there in the corner laughing because it was great.
Yeah, that's so good. Good for them. You know, you got to be lighthearted in these situations.
Yeah, so I got some shakes this time around. It didn't last too long though, but that was definitely something new. About 6:10, they put the catheter in, got checked, and I was already, like, 6 to 7 centimeters dilated. She felt the head, and I was like, wow, this was only, like, an hour and a half since my last check. Like, things are really happening.
Oh, my God. Okay. You mentioning catheter, I forgot to mention, like, I think that is one of, like, my bigger fears that I had, is to get a catheter put in. I just feel like, you know,
if it goes wrong.
Listen, it is such a small hole.
Yeah.
Like, what are you putting up there?
I know. Anyways.
That I just had to add that in.
Yeah, so about 10 minutes later, I wasn't feeling contractions, but I was already feeling tons of pressure. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, this only happened like 2 hours later with Douglas. Like, how am I still feeling so much pain from the pressure? Like, I was almost like grunting. And the nurse was like, Felicia, like, are you okay? And like, Doug came over to look at me like, is the epidural working? Like, what's going on? And I was like, what's happening?
You gotta settle your ass down.
Yeah, so it was insane. So she checked me 6:35. So I got the epidural, like, it was like a half hour. And I was already 10 centimeters. She's like, great, you're 10 centimeters. Like, let's start pushing. Listen. And I was like,
things went so freaking fast, especially in the group chat. Doug's like, oh, yeah, we're 4 centimeters. Oh, yeah, we're seven centimeters. And he goes, fully dilated. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. And at this point in the group chat, so like we have my, like our family, Doug's family, and everyone's like taking guesses at like,
we have
time.
A pool going, okay? What time and how big the baby is. And everybody, so like, what is it at, what time is it at this point?
At this point, so I got the epidural at about right before 6.
Okay. So everybody's guesses are like, you know, like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Something around there. But like, some people's were 7.
Yeah. One person guessed 7. And so, yeah. So I'm 10 centimeters dilated at 6:35. And the nurse was like, all right, let's just start pushing. And I'm like, one nurse in here with Doug, like, what if this baby just shoots out of here? So start pushing. And she's like, wow, yeah, like, she is, like, coming. And I'm like, are you going to, like, call the other OB? Because also at the exact same time that I'm pushing, right in the room behind me, there's another mom pushing. And the OB was in there because she had been pushing for about a half hour. And, like, I could hear her. So I was like, that poor girl, like, she probably crowning. So anyways,
I would have been there, I would have been putting on a scrub suit, be like, I got this.
Yeah. And
step aside.
After probably like second contraction, again, the nurse was like, if we have to deliver this baby, like, I've been in the room a couple times, like, we got this. And she's just like, haha, I'm joking. But because of what the anesthesiologist said, we're like, okay,
man, Fredericton
girl.
Got some jokes, okay?
I was like, I know this is my second baby, but, like, I would like a doctor in here. Like, nurses are great, but, like, what if something happens? So,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so 3 contractions went by, And then the nurse told Doug, okay, like, push the emergency button. Like, let's get the OB in here. And then two pushes later, she was born. Oh, it was insane. Like,
and that is a time of, what, 10
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, it was, like, we pushed for 16 minutes total. I was, like, it was such a different experience, too. Like, there was no ring of fire this time, which was great.
Yeah, oh, my God. But,
yeah, like, they just put her right on my chest. She scored really well for a newborn. Like, she didn't have to go to the NICU because I was scared. Like, Douglas had a little bit of issue jaundice. With jaundice and breathing. But she was, like, she had so much. Was it Vernix? The white?
Yes.
She was covered in it. I was so shocked.
Oh, she was a little chubster.
Yeah, she had so many rolls. Oh, my God, it was great. So we were able to do skin-to-skin for probably an hour or
also,
two.
Also, Doug wrote in the group chat, baby's here. I honestly got to shit myself. Okay.
Yeah, everyone was, like, shocked.
Also, just to add from episode number one, I had the nervous poops all day for Felicia, but I was in the comfort of my own home.
Oh, gosh.
But anyways, yeah, and then... So, they said baby's here, and almost everybody read the message other than my dad.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm like, what?
Because, like, no one was expecting, like, that quick of a turnaround.
So, anyways, I'm, like, waiting for my dad to see this, and then I was like, whatever, I'm going to call him. So, I call him, and I go, did you see the message? The baby's here!
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, I just sat down to eat supper. Like, this shit went so fast. Yeah. It's insane.
And also, during this, so, my nurse, she was working like a 12-hour shift, so 7:30 to 7:30, and she was like, okay, like, we have to have this baby before 7:30 because, like, I've been with you all day, I need to be here for it. And I'm like, girl, this baby's not coming before 7:30.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she was here, so it was kind of nice to have the same nurse for the full thing. Like, she was so sweet. So anyways, prior to actually having Maeve, I had told the nurses how much I had bled and how much, like, clotting came around the first time. So right away, they hooked me up to the IV. Everything went super, like, easy this time. Like,
no bleeding.
Yeah, very minimal. Like, things were super good. Got
very
up for
glad
my shower.
I was there for the murder scene the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got up for my shower. Felt a lot better. We got into our recovery room. I was able to have a solo room, which was really nice because you just have more space. And after hearing Brooke had, like, two other people in her room and being up all night, I was like, I do not need that.
Yeah.
I was also able to pee on my own, which was great because I didn't need another catheter. Like, that was one of the things I was like, I need to pee on my own. Like, this is happening.
Things just went a lot more smooth.
Oh, yeah. It was like... I didn't have a bad experience with Douglas, but this was a very easier experience.
All right. We're going to take a short pause for a Maeve cry.
All right. We're back from Maeve's little break.
We're back. Sure. Welcome back from the commercial.
All right. So where Maeve was born in the evening, we were able to sleep that night. She slept great. She had her bottle every 4 hours. Doug was able to stay with me in the hospital because where we had a solo room, we had extra room. So then the following day is Valentine's Day because she was born on the 13th. So that morning, Doug actually went home to see Douglas, our firstborn. So grandma and grandpa were actually watching him kind of during the whole time with the induction, which was super nice.
Oh, yeah.
They live with us in our split entry home, so it was super convenient just being able to, like, pick up and leave. He was super comfortable in our house. He loves his grandparents. So I had zero
No stress.
Worries.
Yeah. No stress for him either. Yeah.
So we were able to FaceTime when he went home, so he was able to see Maeve. He knew, like, he's been saying her name. It was, like, weeks before Aww. She was born, so it was super sweet.
He's just been, like, the sweetest big brother.
I had to, like, hold back tears because I was, like, after seeing him, it was just, like, okay, like, I need to go home.
Aww.
So this time around, we could have had visitors. We were in the orange phase in New Brunswick in Fredericton. But because I knew that I could kind of be discharged at 24 hours, it was kind of pointless to have visitors. Like, we knew we'd be home that night, and at this time, we couldn't have visitors from Moncton come up. Like,
yeah.
we couldn't, like,
switch
go
zones.
Between zones. So it was kind of nice this time. Like, I think I held me the whole time. Like,
such a different experience from with Douglas, because you had everybody. Yeah,
people was in and out, which was also great. Like, we have so many photos. It was great for everyone to see, like, the firstborn. But this was just such a good time, like, just us three. And especially, like, just quiet time before, like, going home and being, like, a full family of four. So this was definitely nice. We just hung out that day. We watched probably, like, 7 movies in the whole time frame that Doug and I were in the hospital. Maeve had 0 jaundice. All of her little checkups were actually done in our room this time. Because of COVID, the nurses couldn't really, like, take them out. So that was something a little different, too, that happened this time around. So then they discharged us pretty much right at 24 hours. We left, came home, and I was glad because it was, at this point, it was about 7:30, and our son Douglas goes to bed around 6:30, so I knew I wanted to get home when he was asleep so we could just kind of
chill,
relax, like,
get everything set up, you know?
Yeah, so. It was just, I didn't need, like, show up 1 hour before bedtime, and then he'd just be super wired awake, so that was definitely nice that we could have, like, we made it work that we got home, we slept, she had a great night.
Yeah.
And then that next morning, oh my God, I was a ball of nerves. Like, I knew I wanted to get Douglas out of his crib, but, like, I went to pee and then came to check on the monitor, and I knew he was awake, and I just immediately started crying. And Doug was like, "Are you okay? Like, what's wrong?" I'm like, "I'm just so excited to see him and, like, for him to meet Maeve, and, like, what if it doesn't go right?"
Because,
but what,
like, if, his, like, whole world changes too, oh, right? Yeah.
And, like, he was so excited, but, like, he doesn't understand. Like, he literally turned 2, not even 2 weeks before she was born. So they're exactly 2 years apart.
Yeah.
But it was just such a wild experience. And, like, I stopped crying. And then as soon as I walked into his room, turned on the light, just immediately started crying again. And I'm like, oh, gosh. But it's not like he really understood anything.
I mean, it was either a full day of crying, so.
Oh, yeah. But, and Brooke was like, "You need to video once they meet."
Oh, my God. So, I also cried.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, okay?
It was just the sweetest little introduction.
We'll definitely post some videos of it. Yeah. This is just the sweetest little heart. Like, it's yeah. Oh, my God.
She's been such a good little addition. And Douglas adjusts so well. We made sure to have a new little truck for him as, like, a little gift that Maeve got him. And, like, he loves it, still plays with that tractor today, so it was really nice. But it was such a good experience. It was only 2 months, so still recovering from it, but it was just so different but still so similar, which was nice. So
we'll definitely have to get your take on how life has been with 2 kids now, right? So, like, we'll definitely talk a little bit more about that in our postpartum videos.
Yeah.
And definitely excited to get into some more of these videos. And our next video is going to be pregnancy related. So,
and especially, like, I had a boy and a girl. So just like old wives' tales and, like, what was right, what was wrong.
Oh, my God, I know. And, like, I was convinced I was having a girl, and then I found out we were having a boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, we're going to talk about pregnancy in a pandemic, and Felicia, with Douglas wasn't. So we definitely have some stuff to talk about in our upcoming videos. And, you know, we hope you keep watching, and we hope you enjoy these. I mean, also, if there's anything else you guys would like to hear about, definitely send us a message and comment, and, you know.
And we're going to post a couple pictures to do questions. So if there's anything that you want to know about the last 3 births, we'll get those, and we'll do a little Q&A in a episode coming up
for sure. All right, guys, well, we will see you guys next week for some pregnancy topics, and thanks for listening.
Chat soon.
Bye.